If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, Dennis, you're deathly afraid of intimacy, right?
Oh my God.
Ouch.
Drag her.
BetterHelp.com online counseling is there for you.
BetterHelp makes it easy to connect with licensed professional counselors specializing in issues that you want to talk about.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Food for Thought listeners, you get 10% off your first month with discount code Thought. If you've been wanting to talk, get started today. Go to betterhelp.com/thought.
Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest where in a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, a cultural digest for sexual nerds.
Oh my goodness. That is just accurate. Right?
That's really real.
I'm Fran. I'm a writer, editor, and last night I puked behind a Wendy's.
Oh, LA looks good on you, baby.
I know. I'm acclimating well.
Wow. I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and my favorite place in the world is a bathhouse steam room because in there no one can see me cry.
Oh my God,
Joe, wonderful. I don't know that that's entirely true, because they're going to know you're crying anyway. I am Dennis Norris II, and I'm a reader, a writer, a former figure skater, and my goal for the next year is to give myself a whole lot more self-care and to pedicures and peep toe shoes.
No, okay. Dennis. No, you don't need more self-care.
Oh, baby, you're the only person in the world who doesn't.
I disagree.
Hello, I'm Guy Branum. I'm a writer, a comedian, a Scorpio, and I'd like to know which Wendy's.
Fair enough. I will withhold that information at this time. In the studio today, as you all know, subbing in for Teams is Guy Branum, the goddess herself.
Yes. Oh, wait, did I not say my name?
No, you did. I was just reintroducing
That's fair.
To be courteous. Guy's a writer, a thought leader, spelled T-H-O-T. Unfortunately, a comedian, which we hate when we have people that are funnier than us in the studio.
Infuriating.
Co-host of the podcast Pop Rock and author of one of my favorite books that came out last year, My Life as a Goddess. Go buy it.
It's available wherever books are sold.
That's correct.
Thank you so much for saying those nice things.
Of course. And this week, on our delicious little menu, we play a scrumptious game of swipe right, swipe left. We have a delectable impure thought story from a one guy. For our main discussion, we have some issues of the bodily variety.
Literally all of my issues.
And our dessert is like what we think is the queerest Oscar contender out there.
Yeah, can't wait to find out. Take it away.
I'm feeling a little peckish, so let's start the top of the show the way any good top should, with a little tease, a little something to wet your palates. It's our amuse-bouche, and today we're going to amuse your bouches with a little game of swipe right, swipe left.
Yes.
If you have never played before, if you've never been on Tinder before, Guy, swipe right, swiping right and swiping left is like good things and bad things.
No, basically. I understand. I'm a human being. 2019, yeah, I haven't been in a coma.
We've had some people in the studio before that were like, will you describe this to me?
Yeah,
and
like,
I was like,
have you been living
in a vacuum? Anyways, what we do is we all list some cultural phenomenons and we as a group will, divide about whether we would swipe right or swipe left on them. Swipe right, swipe left, face tattoos.
I could not swipe any more hard right on this. I think they're so sexy and I want one so bad, but I would get fired so quickly from my job.
I mean, I also swipe right because I love a man that looks unemployable. I'm truly one of my key type.
Hard left for me. Okay, sorry. And neck tattoo is one thing, but on the face, mm-mm.
Okay, I'm an old man. I will always be very swipe left on face tattoos. It's like, so you're just like, this is a person who's going to make decisions with no sense of consequences. The thing is,
YOLO,
like a neck tattoo does seem like oh, he real dumb. Like, you know,
yes,
a neck tattoo yes. so frequently goes along with a truly amazing body and just like a narrowed worldview. But face tattoo, that's a little far for me.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Swipe right, swipe left. Timothy Chalamet.
I think it's Timothée.
Oh, shit.
Timothée. Timothée.
I swipe right. He's so scrumptious.
Guys.
Swipe right. He's adorable. I like that we now have him and Lucas Hedges just to be all of our emotionally needy gay boys in film, so no gay actors ever need to be employed.
It's perfect.
Absolutely.
We can just work out and have fun.
Yeah. yeah. No, hard left on Timothée.
Why?
Wow.
You know, there's something... I didn't like the harness at Golden Globes. I kind of don't like his hair.
It was a poorly fitted harness.
It was. And I was like, why are you doing this? Like, I just didn't understand.
According to Louis Vuitton, it is an embroidered bib. And I was like, sure it is.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's more appropriate. Mm-hmm. Maybe Timothée needs a bib.
Swipe right, swipe left. Bird Box.
Oh.
I don't know her.
You don't know her.
Okay, I'm swiping left. The reason why I'm swiping left is because as much as I love Trevante Rhodes, I was not interested in seeing a movie where the one, like, black person who has a major role is just constantly opening the door for white people.
That's actually...
And white women specifically. I was like, nope, bye. Like, to go from Moonlight to that, left.
What about you, Guy?
Left, I only read the Wikipedia entry for horror films.
Same! Oh my God, we are deeply the same.
I see.
I want to know what the twist of Hereditary is. Thank you.
Oh my God, we can't talk about Hereditary. I will get too scared. I will swipe right on Sarah Paulson in Bird Box, the 7 minutes that she was in
that film.
But that's it. Swipe right, swipe left, the Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
Left.
You're swiping left, Joseph.
Straight washed nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Left.
Left. I will swipe right on Rami Malek's performance, though.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I think at the end of the day, we can say a gay man's story is fundamentally about the women he loved and betrayed. You know?
Yeah, fundamentally, yes.
And,
and
the sexuality that killed him. And that movie is like, I feel like the movie was a little bit of like a telltale warning-ish.
I mean... I'm a big fan of punitive HIV in literature. And I just saw this 7-hour-long gay play in London that is full of ideas and a shit show. But by the end, there's maybe some punitive HIV. And it was like,
maybe. No.
Buddy, I thought you went to Yale.
I expect that shit from Tyler Perry, but come on.
Yeah.
Wait, a homophobic asshole went to Yale?
I mean, no. I will swipe right on Temptation Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Oh my God.
That's a movie.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you for getting my reference.
Wish that was this year's Oscar contender.
Oh my God. I do love Journey Smollett Bell, though, but that's, love her.
Swipe right, swipe left. People on dating apps who say they're just here to cuddle.
Oh, I love the right.
Oh,
yes.
Gross.
I hate you.
So
I am that person.
Of course.
God, I feel like such a bitch. I'm swiping left. I'm not here for that. I can cuddle with myself or my weighted blanket.
Mm. I mean, right? Just because, like, I don't hate them the way I hate people who say that they're just here for friends. It's like,
that's true.
That you're on your little journey. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. And a picture of the gaping anus.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm just here for friends.
Speaking of anuses, yeah. Swipe right, swipe left, hentai porn. Like anime porn.
Hard swipe right.
I love it as well.
Oh, I would swipe right. Swipe right.
Swipe right.
Okay.
We need more octopuses in our pornography. But without having to injure, octopus
actors. Yes.
Is it octopi?
I believe it is octopi.
Is it really?
Think so.
Oh, my God.
Sorry to be that girl.
Octopussies. I can't help myself.
Stop
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Swipe right, swipe left. Dumplin', the movie.
Swipe right.
I didn't love it. I'm going to swipe left, honestly. I had really high expectations as well.
I haven't seen Dumplin' yet, shock of all shocks, but based on what I'm hearing, I'm going to swipe right. It sounds like it's a really fun romp.
Swipe left, I get a little ishy around things that feel fatsploitation-ish.
Mm.
Also, I don't... Like, I don't want to see Faded Glory Jennifer Aniston.
I really only want to see
her in, like, Object of My Affection, Picture Perfect, like, that 2-year window when she was making rom-coms.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes, that's true.
I miss that, too. Yeah, similar feelings here. Swipe right, swipe left, when straight people use the term partner. to talk about.
Swipe husbands left. You're left. Not a law firm.
Fair. Left, left, left.
Oh, swipe right. I want women to be able to benefit from gay marriage and the like destruction of gender binary within relationships as much as possible. But I want to quote my friend Alex's joke. He has the best joke. He lived in San Francisco and his wife would always say partner. And he said that that was misleading to people because it implied two incomes. He was a stand-up comic. He was a stand-up comic. I should have explained that.
I love that. Oh, my God.
Oh, my. I mean, I'm dead. Like you, am here for the inevitable homosexualization of America.
Can I toss something into the mix?
Yes.
Bachelorette parties at gay bars. Swipe right or swipe left?
Swipe left.
So here's the thing. I will swipe left generally at bachelorette parties at gay bars. However, I will also swipe left on a lot of misogynistic ways that gay men criticize women in gay bars in general.
Right. The thing is that I want them to be able to benefit from us having a space that's like not treating them like objects. Come play in our wonderful land, but also act like you've been to a place.
Yes.
Like bartender ain't going to pay attention to you the way that he does at a straight bar. Deal with it. Everyone here thinks you're good at your job.
Like, have some home training. Yes. Consent still matters. I still have a body that you're not allowed to just touch and fondle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, agree.
Love the woohoo girls.
Oh, tip your go-go boys. That is something that bothers me.
Yes.
Like, I was at, have you guys ever been to the strip clubs in Portland, Oregon?
I have. No. They're crazy.
But the go-go boys there, they're always, or the dancers, they're always like, yes, straight women come, but they do not give us money because they think we're benefiting from women being here.
I heard that Los Angeles people are less privy to tipping their go-go's than in New York.
I have noticed that, to be honest with you.
Someone told me that.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I was just in Paris, and there was I was at a bar where a man took a shower.
I've been to that place.
I love that bar. Oh, my God,
and
it's great.
I then, like, leaned over and was like, how am I supposed to give him money?
Yeah.
He was like, we don't do that. And it's like, in Europe, they even have socialized go-go boys.
Yes! A go-go boy for everyone. And you get a go-go boy. And you get a go-go boy.
Amazing. Swipe right, swipe left. Judith Light.
Oh.
Literally don't know who that is.
What?
You are fired
from the podcast.
Judith Light
fired
from fought the podcast. For your rights before you were born. She got two goddamn Tonys and a daytime Emmy.
She's
incredible.
I can't even with you.
I'm the dentist of this conversation.
You are the dentist of this conversation. Well, swipe right. I love Judith Light. I will admit that my first exposure to her ever was Ugly Betty,
which is, in some ways,
like the least obviously important and crucial thing
she's
that she
actually
did.
Really good in it, but
she is amazing in it. But what it did was it opened up the entire world of Judith Light for me. I mean, that was my connection.
And also, may I say, as one of those ladies who, like, in the 80s was in the Ryan White story and was talking about stuff that other people weren't, also understands when to step the fuck back. Sharon Stone thinks that, like, AIDS charities are about her.
Judith Light
understands, like, you know, support, but also, like, give the spotlight to somebody else. Everybody's still going to pay attention to me. I'm Judith Light.
I'm fucking Judith Light. Yeah.
I love her.
Thank you.
That's the end of our game. Thank you. For our second course, we have a delicious, delectable, impure thought story from Guy. If you don't know what an impure thought is, it is basically when we have a hoe of honor come in and tell us a story that is, you know, sexual, provocative. It's about a hookup, or it's about a weird kiss encounter, or maybe it's, like, totally not sexual and extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
And
like my sex life.
Just like me. Just my stories. Anyways, Guy, tell us what happened.
I have to tell you, it's very difficult to look back through a resume and try to say, like, which of these is most noteworthy? I mean, I'm not saying that they're great, but it is just sort of like, what are you guys looking for? I mean, are you looking for, you know, weirdness or hotness, or I don't know, but I made a selection. Okay. So this story happened long, long ago.
Oh, yes.
You little boys were still in short pants. Okay.
Yes, fair.
I had just moved to Los Angeles. Let's say it's 2005. And I had gone on the internet to locate sex, because I think that's the best way to learn about a new city. Uh-huh. I mean, just sort of like your streets, your local geography.
True.
You learn that by going to like poorly decorated condos.
Yes, I mean. Yes.
And this was, you guys don't even know the technology I would have been using at the time. Let's say it was, I believe, Craigslist, though it may have been gay.com.
Oh, no! Gay.com. Yes, 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 yes.
In the beginning of time.
Shut up. I will slap you out of that turtleneck. Okay. So it was like random guy, and it was a place that I'd never really been before. And there's this weird street in Beverly Hills that is just upscale hotels. And I had no idea what it was. And so I went there, and it was this very strange and fancy hotel. And I went up to his room, and the arrangement was like, he was going to blow me, and we were both going to like satisfy ourselves, and that was that. Mm. I went to law school. I want to know what the
contract.
I want to know what the offer is. I want to know what the consideration is.
Yep.
I want terms. And like the thing is straight people were always so like, oh my God, that's so plain. Why can't you just go with the flow? And it's like, now that we live in a world where we talk about how much straight men don't get consent, I like that I have a nice record of like nearly every sexual encounter that I've had.
So, Wow. Do you keep it in like a spreadsheet or?
It's somewhere in the cloud. It's somewhere in the cloud.
I'm sure.
But I went up and he was like a little bit older than me, and I was very young at the time. Mm-hmm. And he had a British accent. I'd gone to law school. I was in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. He was like a British journalist, and he was like nice and cute. Mm. And we were basically he started blowing me and jacking himself off. And I was having a lovely time. And then he very quickly came.
Okay.
And then he got up and he said, okay, you can leave.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, well, no, these were not the terms that we agreed upon.
Right.
And at that moment, his wife called. And he takes this, he takes the phone call from his wife, and he's talking to her. And I have just taken it into my head that I am going to try to finish so that, because I had myself a load built up, and I was going to finish. I was going to finish all over his bed as an act of just sort of like, fuck you. I was going to make a mess.
I love that. I love a tantrum. I really love the idea of having terms ahead of time. I love setting expectations and goals, really.
No one's saying that consent can't be withdrawn, but also like, don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I mean, the coming oneself thing is sort of like a weird way to like passive aggressively end a hookup. You know? I don't understand.
So I have to say, one time I had bronchitis during a three-way, and I did I did just say like, I can't do this anymore.
Did you? I have questions about that.
Bronchitis gets in the way.
Did you go into the three-way knowing that you were like, I have bronchitis, or did you realize you had bronchitis during the middle of the three-way?
I was just showing up to a show in Seattle, and then there was this guy who came up there because he wanted to see me, and it was very nice. And I was like, is something going to happen between the two of us? Mm. And then his hotter friend started making a hard play. And it was like, this is wonderful. Also, I keep coughing up brown fish.
But you were like, I'm not letting this get in the way. You were like, tunnel vision.
Eventually, I let it get in the way.
At a certain point, self-preservation matters.
Yeah.
But
I'm imagining you just like trying to be in a three-way and just wheezing.
I would have ended up with a punctured lung. For
sure.
My
God.
You would have. You go too hard.
My cardiovascular health isn't great to begin with.
Your level of commitment is really impressive, but
I admire
theirs. Their level of commitment.
No, it was really surprising. It was like, why are you doing this? So I have to say, like, I had always been scared of there being multiple people involved because I was like, who will pay attention to me? And they were both lovely. Like, they were both having a great time. And I was so surprised. But then eventually I was just like, I can't do this. I have bronchitis.
honestly, I'm using that the next time I want to get out of the
freeway. I will definitely use that as an excuse sometime, for sure.
Truly. I mean, like, who's going to argue with you?
Yeah.
Just be like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It should be like a more polarizing, like, it should be, I'm so sorry. I have gout. I gotta go. I'm so sorry. I have really bad vertigo right now. Have to go.
That's so
what
funny.
Would be your excuse if you wanted to get out of a... I mean, you already have so many disgusting medical problems.
Yeah, I mean, really, the exploded anus.
Was it terrorists?
Oh my god! You know?
It was terrorists. E. coli.
Psychological terrorism.
That blew up my anus, yes. It was.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Dennis?
Amazing.
What excuse would you use to get out of a hookup?
I actually do get bronchitis, like... every year.
Uh-huh.
So
what?
I've never thought about every year, usually because of my seasonal allergies.
Is that normal? That's crazy.
I don't know, but I get it in the fall and I get it in the spring. And what's wild to me is that I've never thought to use that. I have before said, like, you know, I'm not feeling well. But the thing is, since I am a bottom all the time, mm-hmm. like, I usually just say, you're not getting it in there tonight. It's not working out. Oh. I'm indisposed. I've got a little... diarrhea situation going on.
I poop on people on purpose to get out of having sex.
No, you don't.
No, you
no,
do
you
not.
Don't.
And you did not just say
no,
that.
No, you
on
don't.
Our podcast.
No, you don't. I have every intention of maintaining my 100% never having pooped on anyone statistic. So I'm very clear about when
like
it's going to happen and when it's not.
That's like a baby shitting its diaper
yes.
to get what it wants.
Yeah, correct.
Are you kidding me?
Joseph Osmondson.
Like, give me a snack.
Oh my God.
Fran just made a poop face for everyone. Listening at home.
Yeah. Thank you, yes. Joseph, for illustrating. Wow, Joseph, you truly are constantly one-upping how disgusting you are.
Yes.
And I'm so
it's
glad.
It's just himself.
That.
Every level.
Well, thank you so much for that delicious story.
That was a fabulous story. Fran, your anxiety is out of control. What's standing between you and happiness?
Honestly, just you, Dennis.
Wow. Accurate.
BetterHelp.com online counseling is there for you. BetterHelp makes it easier to connect with licensed professionals, counselors specializing in the issues that you want to talk about. Depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, grief, self-esteem, and others.
Wouldn't know anything about any of those things. Literally 80% of my therapy is talking about these motherfucking assholes. Connect with your counselor in a safe and private environment. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. Listen, I know that a lot of you thoughts out there don't have mental health care insurance, and so these online services are a good option if you need an affordable choice.
If you've been wanting to talk, get started today. Go to betterhelp.com/thought. Simply fill out the questionnaire to help them assess your needs, and in Joe's case, all the crying,
all
and
the
get
crying.
Matched with a counselor you'll love, one that you can always change if you're like Fran and all you do is change.
Can't even commit to a therapist.
I just roll with the punches, girl.
That's betterhelp.com/thought, promo code
THOT.
Zola, the wedding company that will do anything for love, is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in a couple's lives even happier. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools.
Start with a free wedding website. Oh, sorry.
We are having such a hard time.
Wedding website. Start with a free wedding website. It's so easy and takes just minutes to set up. There are more than 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from that fit any couple's style and every type of wedding.
Build your dream registry. The Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. There's something for every guest to give. To start your free wedding website, and also to get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/THOT. That's Zola.com/THOT. That's Zola.com/THOT.
This message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury, because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to MercuryInsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Get ready for a gloves-off spin on the Classic Advice Show with the Dear Chelsea podcast. Join comedian Chelsea Handler and her assistant slash confidant slash co-host Brandon Marlowe on the podcast that offers unvarnished, hilarious, and empowering advice to people from all walks of life. Drawing from her own experiences, Chelsea brings a fresh perspective to help listeners become the person they wish they could be.
Instinctively, I would always tell everybody to just like reach for their dreams and go for it and take a huge risk in life.
It's a weekly dose of in-your-face, unfiltered Chelsea.
Oh, I've never wanted to be a mom, but I could kill it as a divorcee dad.
With insights and balance from Brandon along the way.
And Brandon is like my little sidecar, aren't you?
I am. I'm just here for moral support and a different perspective at times.
Yeah, he's more reasonable than I am, so you might want to listen to what he says.
Listen to Dear Chelsea on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
20 years ago, you fell in love with the Gilmore Girls for 154 episodes and 4 movies. On the I Am All In podcast, Scott Patterson, a.k.a. Luke Danes, everyone's favorite grouchy diner owner, takes us down memory lane. Tune in to the I Am All In podcast to relive the Gilmore Girls saga one episode at a time.
We'll share stories. We'll share the memories. I've got a million stories to tell, especially about Sean Gunn and Milo Ventimiglia and a lot of other people, too.
Scott will take you back to Stars Hollow, Luke's Diner, Dosey's Market, Miss Patty's, even Mrs. Kim's Antique Shop.
I know you guys have been binge-watching it through COVID and, you know, for 21 years and generations of families and mothers and daughters, and let's watch it together.
If you can smell snow, if Paris isn't just a city in France, and Friday night dinner is a requirement, you won't want to miss this. Listen to the I Am All In podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time we get into the meat of our discussion, the thought process, if you will, spelled T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
And this week we're talking about body-oddy-oddies.
Yes.
Last season we had Heron Walker on in for a conversation on the same topic. And in that conversation she talked about how her agency to modify her body was one of the queerest things she could do. But our conversation kind of craved a little bit more. As queer people, sometimes we get to choose our bodies, but dysmorphia is a thing that perpetuates everyone across the queer spectrum. Trans and non-binary people deal with dysmorphia. Queer women, gay men, disabled people, brown people, we all deal with it because we are cultured to believe constantly that our bodies are wrong. But I'm curious as to how we perpetuate that within the community.
Ooh, girl.
So I'll start us off with a kind of light question that also, you know, sticks into that previous question, which is, what is one of your earliest memories of hashtag body goals, and what was the person in pop culture or just that you saw as a kid where they had a body that you idolized and wanted?
This is the second time she's been mentioned so far in this hour.
Oh.
I was a queer kid, mostly had crushes on girls growing up. Jennifer Aniston in the Friends years.
Oh,
she was like totally like a starlet. She was like, everyone was like, oh, she's so hot. All my like little friends were like, oh, she's so hot.
And
in
her
the 90s.
Nipples were hard every episode of Friends. It was
That's
incredible.
That's why Gunther was in love with her, you frankly.
You would think she was doing it on purpose.
It was, it's like, so basic, I mean, I know, but that was, that. I had so much desire for
I
her.
I never thought I would hear that answer come out of your mouth. That's gonna be
shocking,
honest.
Right?
That was a very Dennis answer.
Yeah, and she wore lovely like sweaters that just cut like right at the jean line.
I think part of the appeal was layered hair.
There's so much movement.
Rachel.
She was so iconic that a haircut was named after her.
The Rachel. Okay, so for me, the first time I ever remember actually seeing someone's body and thinking that's like how I want to move through the world was actually watching the gymnast Dominique Dawes in the 1996 Olympics.
Amazing.
That was the first time I ever like watched gymnastics, and that started my obsession. And she was so beautiful and brown in a sport where there was none of that. Mm-hmm. And she, like, her body was different from the other gymnasts in that she was a little bigger, and she was so clearly incredibly strong. Obviously, they all were strong, but you could see that her gymnastics was, like, higher and stronger. And there was something about the combination that she had of strength and grace that completely captivated me and created an obsession that I had with her. And I was just like, I want to be that strong and that graceful, just like... like walking down the street.
Mm.
Yeah, love her.
Well, I mean, there's that weird relationship between sort of like things that are ego ideal and things that like turn you on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's such a hard thing. Though I do remember at a very early age looking at, do you guys know who Ricky Schroeder was?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Okay, he was on NYPD Blue, I think, at a point that you might have remembered. Uh-huh. But he had this show in the 80s where he played like a kid whose dad was very rich, and he was like, blonde and like not fat and awkward like I was. And I remember looking at him and being like, well, if I were like that, it wasn't this sort of like, it wasn't a bridgeable gap for me. It was just like, well, if I were like that, I could be a person. But I mean, instead, you're doing this, Branham. and like having sort of, I think it was far more likely to identify with sort of like moods and attitudes, and I had a very distanced relationship with bodies because it just felt like the good ones were very unlike mine.
Mm. Do you feel like early queerness is sort of I feel like there's a stereotype, and it sometimes bears out to be true, that like gay men date other men who look like them, or date men who they aspire to look like in a certain
way. I have
way.
A joke on this subject.
Okay.
It is rooted in, okay, so when I first came out, there was this self-help book that it was written by a former model. It was called Finding the Boyfriend Within. And the premise was that you were supposed to be the kind of person who you would want to date. And my standard joke on the subject is, I think I can do better than me.
Oh my God.
I'm smart. I'm funny. I'm on TV a lot. Why would I want to date some fat, bald, sweaty guy who's constantly talking about Canadian history?
Oh my God. I mean, I would love to find a boyfriend within me, but
exactly.
I do feel, you know, I really am interested in that question. However, I do want to quickly say that my first body goals memory was Mario Lopez on Saved by the Bell.
I mean, it was very powerful, wasn't it?
God. And also, he was like one of the few like Latina people on TV at the time, and it was like on after school. And I remember even when he was younger, I was like, oh my God, like I want that so bad. And I think it's because he was brown and I was brown. And I was like, I think I feel. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was also a roidiness to 1980s culture that you boys probably barely remember.
Yes!
He represented sort of like the last flower of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I grew up in the middle of it with your He-Man, with your, Schwarzenegger. Yeah. There was a lot of it.
I love the roidiness of the 80s.
Beautiful freight. Like, just bigness, yeah.
And how has he just gotten better looking?
I mean,
I know.
It is infuriating.
He now looks like he's made out of linoleum, but in like the best way.
In the best just sort of way. Like,
there's no hair growing in any way. And also, like, you have to understand the extent to which every evening of the week he is out at one of three, like, douchey restaurants here.
Oh, interesting.
Like, seeing Mario Lopez is a very doable thing in Los Angeles. There was also the glorious period. Well, I guess they still do extra from from Universal Studios. Yeah, they did, but they used to do it at the Grove. So you would be like, I need an iPhone cord. Mario Lopez is in the way. It was very fun.
This is a very LA story and not a cute one. But I swear a friend of a friend was like friends with his wife. And apparently he doesn't drink, do any drugs, and he's always in bed by like 10:15.
Don't you want to be that person?
God. No, I am. I will age. No. I am happy to age as long as I can be drunk at least a third of my waking life.
Those people who are just like hot is their religion.
I don't know
that's
that.
What they do.
But speaking of bodies, can you imagine the anxiety of living that way? Like of being a Mario Lopez where you feel like your body is your livelihood. And as soon as you start to age, everything is going to crumble. What a horrible.
Can the rest of this podcast just be about Mario Lopez? I mean, honestly,
I'm
interested in that because the other day I was like, you know, working really late in the office and I had made plans like kind of untouchable time to like go to the gym. And I like when I put things in the calendar, I like really do it.
Yep.
And I, you know, had friends that wanted to go see a movie very last minute. And I was like, that sounds super fun, but I had this untouchable time. I should go to the gym. And then I was like, wait a second. I'm like going to the gym so I can live longer? Question mark. Missing out.
That
on
is not
life.
Remotely why you're going to the gym and pretending that it is a mistake and a lie. You are going to the gym to be hot. Yes. That is why gay people go to the gym.
That is why they exist. Maybe I should say I'm going to the gym to enjoy my life better and missing out on life in the process.
Friend, that's for sure true.
Something cooler will kill you. Like if you're doing it right.
I'm going to be real honest and I don't think this will surprise anyone. I have not had a gym membership in 6 years. In fact, I've never paid for a gym membership. The last membership I had was just when I was in graduate school and I would go to the gym. And the thing that actually happened, I can be completely honest about this, it was never confusing, was that for about 3 months, I did go to the gym every single day and I worked really, really hard. I felt like in graduate school, I like wasn't happy with where my body was at the very, like when I graduated. And I just was like, I feel like if I have a more muscular body, if I have a stronger body, if I have a smaller body, I will be loved. And I like men will find me attractive. And at that point, I really had dated very little. And so that was what it was about. And then when I graduated and moved to Brooklyn, I had no money and could not even afford like a $10 a month membership. And I've kind of just never gone back. I found other ways to try and like make myself like the benefits that I did have from the gym. Like I did feel stronger. I did like the endorphins thing. Like I was like, oh, that's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. So I've found other ways of trying to achieve that without actually going to that space that I really kind of don't like, other than sometimes seeing dick flopping around in gym shorts.
Gym shorts, fair.
I live in New York City. Run down the street and like you'll see that. So
I would like to make 2 points. The first one is there's such an interesting tension between like the wonder. Who here is Red Velvet Rage?
I have Red Velvet Rage.
All right. It's not a good book.
No. It's not. I thought you were going to say like how much you loved it.
No,
or
but
something.
It's a valuable concept. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the thing is that like Velvet Raginess forcing gay guys to like overwork to prove themselves leads to some ridiculously hot human beings, and that's a wonderful thing. But it's also is brokenness worth that hotness? Yeah. You know, it's like an interesting. It's an interesting conversation and tension, especially for me, because like compared to you guys, because like being gay has changed a lot over time, and so sort of like there is more space for safety and love. Not a lot. I mean, you boys all grew up hating yourselves. No one's questioning that. But it's like, for me, I'm like, was it better back when we were all monsters?
Right.
But then there is, one of the things I love so much is like that you can psychologically distance yourself from the gym as a place of mask hotness, even when it is faggot town.
Yes.
You know, which is like so weird. Okay, I do need to tell you about my favorite story from a West Hollywood crunch.
Yes, please.
I was in the steam
room. Love a West Hollywood crunch.
I was in the steam room having a schwitz. And two guys came in and they were clearly going to blow each other. And they looked at me and sort of like, well, are you going to leave? And I was like, I didn't, we did not speak this entire time, right, but right, I just right, stayed right. there because you're fucking blowing each other in the steam room. I thought the magic was that I got to watch.
Yes, that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
And then they left and they did it in the sauna, which doesn't have steam and just is a clear door. So everyone walking past could see. Yes. But they felt more comfortable, so good for them. I'm sorry I hijacked the conversation.
That was amazing.
Honestly, very disrespectful to the known politics of steam rooms and saunas, which yes. is you get to watch.
Have any of you boys ever been in a gym in San Francisco?
No.
Oh, yes.
I have not.
I don't know if they still have them, but there were always the lovely signs that on the steam room that said closed by order of the sheriff.
Oh my God.
Made me feel like a beautiful part of a tradition.
Yes, absolutely.
Honestly, that is queer culture. It really is.
I mean, it's so, you know, the gym and the steam room situation, which I love personally. I also think like people have been hooking up in same-sex physical spaces like that for literally millennia. Like, it is as old as sort of any semblance of humanity. But it leads to all of these weird politics of, like, you go to the gym to work out your body to get hot, and then you get that pleasure in that space. One of the things I like about it is it feels like, again, because I feel so divorced from my body a lot of the time, going to the gym, hooking up in the steam room all feels like a space where I like get to actually feel my body do shit for like an hour of the day. I feel it work out. I feel it lift heavy things. And then I go into the steam room where people are hooking up, and it feels like it feels like self-care.
Shut up. It's disgusting.
But like it feels like a kind thing I do to myself. But of course, it has like the politics of that space are exclusionary and people are cruel to one another. And then there's always the play of like all the gyms are so masked. So
I do wonder. Yeah. It's weird because I think we are cruel to one another, but I also think we also tell the story of our cruelty to one another.
That's true.
A great deal. And that like self-policing, like one of the great discoveries along my way was realizing like, oh, hot people hate their bodies more than I do because they have weird expectation from it and are angry at it for not being exactly perfect, but only being mostly perfect. And just sort of like coming to that point was like a beautiful liberation for me. And I think that we like, I don't know. I feel like we tell the story of mean girling a lot when really the majority of mean girling is just some degree of people being like, I'm so uncomfortable here. How dare that other person be comfortable?
Yeah. And it's like it does happen. Mean girling does happen. And so like the few times it happens, it's so hurtful. And so we extrapolate, like I feel like we live a lot of our lives out of a fear of the worst case scenario of being mean girled in the steam room or whatever. It's happened to me.
I know we are saying that, like, you know, for a lot of the time we go to the gym because we want to be hot or whatever. And you are starting to answer the question of why other reasons you go to the gym.
Yeah.
When you work out, why do you work out, Guy?
To try to die less soon and to control my fatness to a level that it continues to fit into the clothes that I currently have. Like, I do think that there is real danger in the transformational narrative that we continue to give to fat people, especially
my God,
gay fat men. I feel like there is this story of like fatness, like closetedness, is something that you will leave behind you.
Oh my God, yes.
And the thing is that like, good for people who are able to do that. I certainly thought that that was going to be my story, and it fell apart because this is kind of, I mean, like, you know, shit's already what it is. This is the body that I have, and it was very hard. My niece is 17, and she's 3 Instagrams, and one of them is for her cosplay.
What? And I love your niece.
I'm so ready.
Her cosplay Instagram, she posted, and she was like, she was saying that she wasn't going to be cosplaying for the near future because she wanted to lose weight so that she could do better work. And it was weird to sort of like have to go to this person who I know so well and love so much and be like, hey, you need to live now always. And if you want to have other stuff going on, good, but like, don't don't, you know,
put your life on hold.
Don't defer your dream, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think about it it's so interesting for people who work in entertainment or have their body as part of their job.
Yeah.
And like what, you know, the modifications you make to your body then have to do with your fucking livelihood. And I also think the anxiety of that must feel really crazy. But I think because what you're saying is because of Instagram and the way that we all sort of perform a lot of the time, that mm-hmm. is a feeling that used to be a small subset of people and is now like felt by a larger breadth of our culture.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I also feel like to a certain degree, the whole thing you brought up about like transformation narratives is something that, again, we are cultured to believe in and that they can occur over the course of like one movie montage, mm-hmm. you know, where like a Hillary Duff song is playing in the background or whatever.
Okay. Look. I love a movie makeover as much as anyone. I say in my book, any movie where she gets bangs as a plot point is a movie I'm going to love. But there are those movies that manage to have what is essentially a makeover that transpires under different terms. And have you boys seen Dirty Dancing?
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
Gosh, duh.
I mean, fucking go back and watch that movie. And at the beginning of that movie, baby is a 13-year-old boy. Like, she is physically a 13-year-old boy with no relationship to her body. Uh-huh. And then through the process of dancing too much with Patrick Swayze,
by the end
of it, she gets herself and also has been fucked. Like, her makeover has been fucked. But, like, you see the same short, big nose, frizzy hair, Jewish girl, like, owning her shit and being beautiful, choosing to be beautiful in a way that's, like, really magnificent.
Being fucked by a dancer until you love your body is basically my wet dream. So thank you.
yes.
End of your life. This is, again, why one of my favorite cultural forms in the entire world is Miss Piggy. Because, like, I do...
Go on.
I do feel like Miss Piggy represents a version of a person who is living their life and showing all the way up despite the fact that people tell her that her body is wrong or her being is wrong.
I honestly think that as a little boy, having that there was something that pointed me in the direction of being able to say, like, well, I choose to think that this is fine. And there is something so wonderful about having worst thing happen. Again, in the book. I'm sorry for referencing the book so much.
No, we need this.
But there was this one time when I had a terrible, weird crush thing going on with this wonderful manipulative boy who went out too much, and we were going to sort of like the hoary 18 and overnight where A-list directors find their next victim.
Oh, this sounds horrible. Wow.
And like we were showing up to it, and by this time I went pretty frequently, and the guy at the door was just like, he let the other guy in and not me. And then the guy like came at him and was like, why? And he just said, because he's fat and you're cute, because you're cute and he's fat. And I have been like waiting for that moment in gay spaces for such a long time. And it felt sort of like other flavors of that, but it really was just sort of like, okay, this is the worst. And the thing is that like 15 minutes later, I was in the club. A half an hour later, I was making out with a very cute boy. Mm. You know, it's like, it's fine. The worst things happen, and it's fine as long as you don't let yourself be pulled along into it. Like, you don't have to be in anyone else's narrative. And, like, there are people who want to have sex with you.
Always. I mean, no one's out of your league.
I think surviving your worst nightmare is a huge, like, a healing thing, almost, in a way.
That's a way to put it, but okay.
But at the same time, I think, you know, the notion of Claudia Rankine's citizen, that your body holds all of the little traumas that it meets along the way, is, like, super and just because, you know, you survived that horrible thing that happened to you, and there's a sort of freedom of that. Like, your body is still accumulating all of the fears and the traumas and the little things and the, oh God, my like least favorite thing in the world, rejections, large and small, right? And they sort of add up. And, you know, I do think it takes active work to change your shift your priorities such that you recognize and accept that that horrible thing happened and you're surviving it. But like your life is not just survival. Like yeah. you're allowed more yeah. than survival, you know?
As Ani DeFranco said, I've got better things to do than survive.
Oh my God.
You guys don't know who Ani DeFranco is.
We do.
I actually did grow up listening to a little bit of Ani DeFranco at the influence of my sister. So when I was talking a little bit earlier about my relationship to the gym or my lack of relationship to the gym, part of the context that's important to that is that at that point in my life, I really hadn't dated. I hadn't had sex yet. So I felt incredibly undesirable. And I'm really relating heavily to what you're saying about the idea that it's like fine. You know, that was what I had. That was the mental space that I had to get to. And I still kind of live in that space because I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like all these thoughts that I had about like the whole world, I thought like everyone was going to be super hypercritical to me about my physicality. No one was going to want me. Like that just wasn't like, that's just not true. So the great thing
that's
is
why
that,
I get scared of the mean girl stories being too present amongst gay men.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like once you can get past that, that sort of fear, you can begin to shift your mindset into that place of like being like, I'm going to thrive. I'm not going to survive. I'm going to do something higher.
But there is sort of like the weird, interesting, and in many ways wonderful thing that like it's not just about our own personal relationships with our bodies. Mm-hmm. Like this is gay masculinity. Like our bodies are commodified to some extent. Mm-hmm. They are things that are bought and sold. And like, you know, I live in West Hollywood and it is in so many ways the most wonderful place because everyone has a perfect body and they're not wearing clothes most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's also horrible, but I also think my friend Matt Wilkes, who is like super hot, when he first moved to LA from New York, he was like self-conscious because he was just like, there's always somebody with a better body than you. And it's like, well, yes, that is most days for me. Yeah. It's like you, a former Broadway Spider-Man, are now having to experience this.
Oh my God, right. Broadway Spider-Man. Oh,
wow. There is an interesting leveling aspect to it. And I also think one of the nice things about Los Angeles is I get weirded out by the fact that like my body is part of the text of what I do. And and there are good things about it too, because I feel like for like hotter gay guys, like there is an interesting aspect of danger to that, to straight people that maybe I don't present. But more than that, it's just realizing there's so much hot in this town. This town got hot, you know? This town has hot locked down. And it also needs other things. And once I realized that, because when I first moved here, it was just this like, what the fuck am I doing surrounded by all of these people? It's pretty crazy. But also I'm very old. So I've watched people go from being like on E! Reality shows to working at Whole Foods. And it's important to watch hot people
perspective.
Be destroyed by time.
Yeah. I love that. I was just going to
go. Because I have a question.
I was just going to say like, I love the hot lockdown as a concept in general for the queer community. It's like, cool. Like we're hot already. Let's like move on to bigger and better things. I also love that, you know, as people who might not have, you know, bodies that fit into porn categories or are not like structurally hot or like whatever, that, you know, we rely on other things and are super fucking smart.
But there's also this weird issue of social hotness where it's like, there are porn categories for everything.
Yeah.
There are people who are attracted to everything. And it is more, I think it goes back to velvet raginess. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
But this idea of just sort of like having that admirable life, having people look at who you are and what you do and being like, oh, yes, that's the answer. Those guys have it together. Look at how many abdominal muscles they have.
Yeah. I really want to talk about that thing that you just mentioned. That one of the things I love about the queer community, maybe more so than the gay community, is that like for every type of body you have, there is a person who wants to fuck that type of body, right? Theirs are things. Yeah. Daddies are a thing. Like we're all, I think gay men, the stereotype is we're all so scared of growing old because then we'll age out of hotness and no one will want to fuck us. But daddies are a thing, you know?
Yeah.
But on top of all that, there are a lot of categories that you never see in porn or don't see like championed in like social media or whatever, but they still exist. And those categories of people that are still attracted to the things that,
absolutely.
You know,
I think that we are, I mean, the hot dad goes viral once every 6 months or so, you know,
Beto like, O'Rourke.
you know,
yeah. Yes.
But I think, you know, I think it, So that's amazing that you every type of body gets to access pleasure because there's a person who's into that type of body. But it also that leads to all this commodification, right? Uh-huh. That exactly what you're talking about, Guy, where it's like, oh, I've checked the box on being this type of body and therefore these type of people want to have sex with me. But it feels sometimes like there's not a lot of depth to that.
Who gets personhood? Like right, the question of who gets personhood is like really hard. And I feel like gay men over time have had sort of this idea that like getting sexuality comes at the loss of other things. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I feel like that's a it's an interesting balance. And I sort of look at the way I have sort of like charted my life over time. And I look at other people who have had different relationships to their bodies that I'm impressed by. Like I have so frequently treated clothing myself just as like something to be done for the sake of society. like just sort of like, so I'm not naked, just sort of like minimally answering those questions. Because when you're a fat guy, like there aren't that many fun answers at the like fat guy store. Mm-hmm. But then I look at people who have done amazing things and smart things and savvy things. And I have to sort of like go back and like start asking my questions about why it never crossed my mind that, that could be fun or an option. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, also we like that thing of collected, like damage being collected. You also can't get too mad at yourself for the person you were in 1997 and the person you were in 1984. Mm-hmm. Not that you guys were people in 1984.
I was a 1-year-old person.
Oh, gross.
But like the thing is that like this is where I am now. And so I'm not going to like... Mm-hmm. be too upset about what went on there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think at a certain point it just feels like dense in your armor and you're kind of like, okay, like this is what actually like what I'm confident that this is still working for me, you know, even if I do have a few, you know, bruises here or there and in my psyche.
And I mean, it's all about like the narratives, you know, Guy, you're so right about the power of narratives and the way the Mean Girl narrative kind of strips us of the possibility of that not being the only thing.
Yeah.
And for me, one of the biggest things that has helped shift my narrative is I always felt like this brain-body binary was really strong. Yeah. And like as a biologist, the brain is the body.
Yes.
You know, your brain is a physical thing. It is a group of cells that are electrified that talk to one another. And treating my brain and my consciousness that way and reconnecting it to my body has like helped a lot. It's helped me love all of those things a lot more.
The thing is like you shouldn't blame yourself for it. Like at the point in time that your body was changing, you like the very significant social messages being sent that these two things can't be in the same place.
Yeah.
Well, like every boy around you, and God knows it's not true of girls, but every boy around you had the right and option to have their brain and their body in the same place. And I think we just split those things off. And there is something deeply damaging about the fact that we expect even 2 or 4 years of little gay boys or girls to be sort of like, well, look, all women are distanced from their bodies because the world is a horrible place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's set that aside and just talk about men now. but like, there's something that like truly fucks you over about that. And I also think, for white gay men, there is a safety in looking normal, or normal plus. Like gay guys are always shooting for normal plus, of not having to answer the scary questions that you don't want to have to answer yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that is an interesting kind of brain-body distance that exists in the gay community. And, you know, it is one of the really sad things that a lot of people are protecting themselves from judgment with traps
and
love those traps and I'm proud of them. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, you know, be in a room, learn how to talk. And I realize we need to finish, but I do think that there is a danger in gay guys talking about this stuff in an intellectualized way that is distanced and saying ain't that bad. When at the same time, we have to understand like what a sweet, sweet taste it has and how much we love it. And sure did talk about Ezra Miller today. You know, those Abercrombie bags had a sorcery over us that was...
Oh my God.
yes. You know, yes. Particular. And the thing is like, it's better to be in the same room with the fact, like, I mean, much of the way that an addict has to know, like, me, I like cocaine too much. It's like, you know, like, we like regular white dudes' bodies a lot because like it's this sense of like, if only I could get to there, like all of the problems would be solved.
Right. Amen.
I'm feeling a little full, but I could fit, you know, just one more thing inside of me. Dennis knows what I'm talking about. It's our dessert segment. It's a delicious little thing at the end of every episode that we would recommend. And this week's dessert is, if you haven't seen it, The Favorite, which is my favorite film I have watched in quite some time, and probably an Oscar contender, was a Golden Globe contender, is going to hopefully sweep all the awards or whatever, but awards aside, is like a deeply queer movie, but also so entertaining and so intense and so beautiful.
Stunning, visually stunning.
Yeah, I loved that film. What about you, Guy?
Okay, I had cared too much about the relationship between Queen Anne and Sarah Churchill for a long time, read books about it. The thing is I like British politics too much, and I like ladies who are too politically pushy too much. So I was, like, invested in this, and I was, like, sad and scared when the movie was coming out. Much in the way, like, I was scared that with The Favorite, what happened with On the Basis of Sex would happen, which would be, like, shittiness. And then I went and saw it, and it was so magnificent. And the thing I love most about it is that it takes this person, Sarah Churchill, who essentially ran Britain and, like, did it by having sexual control over the Queen. And it, like, pulls those identities together into this, like, soft, futch, magnificent. It made her a dyke. It made her a dyke.
Yes.
And, like, I had never thought about it that way because, like, the paintings of her are always very sort of, like, booby and flowy.
Right.
And, like, taking Rachel Weisz and putting her in those hunting outfits.
Oh, my God, the hunting outfits.
It was so awesome. I love it so much. And, like, also, I think Queen Anne, this character that could have just in so many other people's hands would have just turned into sort of like camp, into grossness. Think about what Will Ferrell would have done with that character. Olivia Colman's so good, but also the fact that like there is that a person really loves her. Like that a person really loves her, and like I there have been like reviews that were like, oh, everybody's just looking out for themselves. But I fucking believe that Rachel Weisz loves her in her own dykey, withholding, bitchy way.
I love it.
Because love means someone tells you look like a badger.
I love Oh my God.
That's you look like a badger.
That's fucking phenomenal. I also just like in the context of like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody or Green Book or these other like, you know, gay movies that like the gay community doesn't really like all that much or queer movies that the queer community doesn't like all that much. I'm excited to see one that is, in my opinion, just so unapologetically, you know, queer and so unapologetically complex in its queerness and the way those characters convene their queerness. In addition to being like, you know, beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
I mean, that there is full on fucking. I would surprise me and thrilled me.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
also, I hope that gout sore play becomes more of a thing in the community.
Yes, yes of course.
Stick it in my gout sore, baby.
I mean, we always need more things to try, so we're into
honestly,
it.
Yes. Not to kink shame,
producer
but
Alex just vomited in the corner of all things that we talked about today.
Gout our next sore episode, play. Really our next episode's theme is gout. Gout
I'm ready.
What
I'm
is
ready.
It
about? I'm ready.
Go out and see it if you haven't already. It's fucking phenomenal. This episode of Food for Thought was made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé and today's champagne as well. And also our new home at Forever Dog. Our producer is the pecorino to our parmigiano, Alexander Palma.
Pecorino, the spicy pepperoncini.
Our social media manager is the spiciest meatball, Christina Tucker.
It's a spicy meatball.
Oh, I hate you.
Oh my God.
Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or I'm moving to Los Angeles too. This is I Will Plant
Here.
Actually,
that is the right distance for us to be apart from one another, to be honest.
You're so funny. I'm Fran. You can find me at Fran Squish Co. on all social media and Venmo as well.
I'm Joseph Osmundson. You can find me at www.josephosmundson.com.
I am Dennis Norris II, and you can find me on Twitter at the Earl Denden, TheEarlDenden.
I'm Guy Branum. I am at Guy Branum on all social media. And please buy my book, My Life as a Goddess, available wherever books are sold.
It is really good, you
it's
guys.
It's a really so good one.
Find us on Instagram at Gay Sluts Who Read and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod, where each week we pin some questions to the top of our page to continue the discussion of this week's episode. Sign up for our newsletter to see a list of everything we are reading and some extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, email us with your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics. At thoughts@foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thoughts spelled how?
T-H-O-T.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.